record-breaking meat on Sunday?
Yeah.
I know I am handing out the game ball at the White Sox game on Sunday, Father's Day. It's not throwing out the first pitch. I think it's my job to give the ball to the person who is throwing out the first pitch. It's very inefficient.
Still an honor.
It's an honor. I'm honored to do that. I'm excited to do it. But yeah, now you tell me it's going to be record-breaking heat.
You're only going to have to be out there for 5 minutes to do that. Then you can go back in the press box or wherever.
Yeah, that's true. I got to start looking into where's my skybox?
Right.
That's how they know me at Sox Park, because I'm the guy they right away they're like, oh, this is the guy who always says, where's my skybox? Never been in a skybox.
Make sure you rosin up your hands as you deliver. You don't want to be sweaty. You don't want to drop it.
Right.
As you deliver.
It's got to be, exactly. And Pete had the best idea ever to wear the full baseball uniform there, not just a jersey, but wear the pants with the stirrups like you're in Little League, the cleats. That would be awesome. Dedicated. That'd be commitment to handing a ball to an umpire.
And please take a picture.
Yeah. Well, if my phone doesn't melt.
Instagram some video.
There you go. Look at you with all the techno-lingo.
You're the popular one, so I'm like, I'm encouraging you. I'm trying to learn from you.
There you go. Well, it's the Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's time for the Daily Line. They join us usually on Wednesday nights to give us the latest on local, county, and state politics. But it's Thursday, and it's our final show, and we are already nostalgic for the segment. So we brought Heather Sharon is in, managing editor at the Daily Line, which you can find at dailyline.net. Heather, great to see you.
Thank you for having me, Justin. It's an honor to be on your last show.
Well, I always enjoy talking to you and AD and the crew, because you give us such great specific insights to the things that matter to us here in the area. So let's get right to it.
Sure.
The bullet train obviously did in the headlines, the mayor and Elon Musk getting together and talking about this is on par with the reversing of the Chicago River when it comes to logistics and infrastructure projects in the history of this town.
There's nothing that gets Mayor Rahm Emanuel more excited than the ability to invoke Daniel Burnham's make no little plans the city. And that, you know, I think is objectively true. It is not a small plan to, drill a tunnel all the way from O'Hare to the Loop and have it with automated 16-person cars speed at 100 miles per hour from O'Hare to downtown in, as promised, 12 minutes.
That sounds like it's going to be broken all the time. I'm just going to say, like, doesn't it, like, automatically, as we know about trains and things, that there's going to be like, well, it's not working right. Or the slowdowns, there's going to be slowdowns like they do on the Blue Line. But this is a project that has been in the hearts, or at least in the minds of mayors of the past. Mayor Daley's talked about express trains. There has been a particular interest from the business community to be able to get the business traveler from O'Hare to downtown Chicago in a matter of minutes, because it's been asked. People are, I joked about it in the carryout. It's longstanding, I guess, anger, frustration for travelers to take so long to get from the airport to downtown Chicago.
Yeah, you know, I saw a lot of commentary today about people who ride the Blue Line every day, like I do. I ride it from Cumberland, which is almost to O'Hare, and how slow it can be. And it certainly, you know, when it's terrible, it's terrible. But when you compare to Chicago, to a city like New York, where you have to take multiple trains and multiple buses to get to Manhattan, Chicago is actually in a relatively good space. And let's not forget that we're in the midst of a $500 million renovation project for the Blue Line, which is ostensibly going to cut 10 minutes off the commute from O'Hare to downtown. So I think a lot of the questions we heard today was, why this project? Why here? And is the mayor setting up the city for sort of a financial boondoggle in the future?
And that's a great question, because obviously this is with Elon Musk company. You're talking about private money, private industry. But we've seen this before where there have been Millennium Park comes to mind as a good example of a park that was built on the backs of private foundation money. But over time, to actually keep it up, to make sure there aren't slow times, to make sure there aren't construction out of order signs, and it's going to take some sort of taxpayer money. Is that how critics see it? Is that how people are looking at this issue?
Well, I think the concern is that, you know, what happens if Elon Musk decides he wants to do something else? Let's say his company, the Boring Company, the technology isn't where he wants it. He's got many other companies, SpaceX, SpaceX. He's trying to go to Mars. You know,
sure.
He's Tesla, you know, is in a lot of flux right now with their labor situation. This is really turning over a significant chunk of the city's infrastructure to a private firm. And anybody who remembers the parking meter deal, you know, starts to twitch a little bit. You know, what if, you know, there's, you know, I think a lot of the questions we heard from Alderman like Scott Wakes back, what happens if this goes wrong? And we don't really have any of those questions.
And that's a great question to ask, because there have been issues of parking meters, a good example where we've seen that kind of go wrong. All right. So obviously, let's talk about time. I mean, this is obviously a big presentation about what it's going to be, but it's going to take a while to build something to tunnel this. This is a tunnel. The cost of this project, who's paying for it, and how much it's going to end up costing the consumer.
Well, so it's not going to cost the city anything, the mayor says up front. Elon Musk is going to foot the bill, and he's going to get the revenue from the $20 or $25 fares. I think the bigger payoff for Elon Musk is being able to demonstrate that it works in a city, so that he could go to other cities and say, look what I did in Chicago. You should pay me all of your money because I can do for you what I have done in Chicago. Elon Musk said today he thinks that drilling can start by Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And that once drilling starts, it could be up and running within 2 years, but definitely not more than 3 years. And I was thinking about the other day how we are still trying to reform the Chicago Police Department's officer misconduct system, which has literally been languishing committee for 2 years.
Right.
So he said today that Chicago was a great place to start this because there's very little regulatory sort of hang-ups. And I think a bunch of us reporters sort of looked at each other and went,
That's such a great point, Heather. The idea that this is evidence that the mayor can pick and choose about what doesn't have regulation and what does, or what gets hung up and what doesn't, to act as if you can snap your fingers and have a train go from O'Hare to, and a huge infrastructure project, but not snap your fingers on things that many citizens want, is peculiar.
The other issue is, and I saw this from a couple of people, the city is trying to get, you know, a massive amount of money from the federal government to extend the Red Line south to 130th Street. Because right now, you get off the Red Line at 95th Street, and that's
city, right?
Pretty
right,
much it.
Right.
So that has been presented as sort of a transportation equity situation, you know, issue on the south side. And there, you know, State Rep Al Riley said today on Twitter that this announcement made him mad because, you know, that in his mind is much higher priority because there's literally no train service there when, of course, you've got the Blue Line.
And obviously the one issue that critics talk to is that this is not for Chicagoans. This is for travelers and obviously a business community coming in from the coast that need to do business and get out of town quickly. And also there are projects, and texters are also texting in about fix the CTA, the Blue Line. We saw this week with Metra that there are issues with the trains going out. So there are going to be a lot of questions about we can do this. Now, again, to the mayor's defense, this is a private project. This is not a project that uses taxpayer money. It remains to be seen if that'll be the case in the future. Heather Sharon, my guest, the managing editor at The Daily Line. TheDailyLine.net covers everything from Chicago to Cook County to Springfield. We'll talk Springfield, sexual harassment coming up here right after the break, so stay with us. A lot of great texts coming in. Engineers and tunnel contractors will tell you it's not simple. It's not a simple task to build a tunnel to O'Hare. Daunting. Another Texas A47, some rock excavation to soft clay and 14 miles long like a moonshot. It can be done, but will cost. 214 says, why can't visitors budget their time and figure out what it takes to travel to and from the airport? Why do we need it? Fix the Blue Line and environmental permits. Environmentalists will probably slow this project down. A lot of great questions unanswered, and we will continue to cover this as, and I agree with the mayor in the sense that this is an infrastructure project that is historic in proportion. An express train to the airport is something that Mayor Daley wanted to get done. Feels like a lot of politicians in the area, a lot of Springfield politicians have always talked about that kind of thing. So we'll see how this moves forward. Heather Sharon's here, the managing editor of DailyLine.net, joins us every Wednesday. She's here for a final program on Thursday to talk about all things city, county, and state. Let's talk state. Sexual harassment allegations continue in Springfield. We saw in the last week or so more inner circle people with Speaker Madigan as chief of staff. We saw a couple of the Democrat leaders So the question here, he has come out and he has said we have a new plan. Everyone's going to reapply for their job. We're going to do so many different things to stem this. But there has been a rising tide of concern from critics and from others that say this issue may continue towards the election. Is that true? Do you feel that there could be voters out there that won't vote Democratic because of the man who runs the Democratic Party?
Well, the Illinois Republican Party is certainly hoping that they will. I don't think it was a by chance that the first bill that Governor Rauner signed after the budget deal was a bill that basically expands protections for people who report abuse and harassment in Springfield. And it changes a little bit the way that the Ethics Commission works and how you can report those complaints. His former Republican gubernatorial primary rival, Jeannie Ives, had a press conference here in Chicago last week that basically said, earlier this week, said if the Democrats don't dump Michael Madigan, they will be hypocrites, essentially. Because
the Tribune said that as well. The Democrats not lining up against the Speaker.
Yeah, and Jeannie Ives basically said that Michael Madigan is an albatross around the necks of the Democratic Party. She was greeted by polite skepticism from a lot of the reporters in the room who, you know, are well aware of just how much money Michael Madigan distributes to candidates and how closely he has held those reins of power for decades. The question is, does that Me Too movement sort of move votes in an election where everybody expects the Democrats to sort of surge along this anti-Trump feeling?
It obviously is a huge issue, and it's one that you're seeing a culture issue around the Speaker and the Speaker's office, because a lot of these people are being accused of doing this for years on end. But the question is, if the Speaker comes forward and suggests and institutes principled sweeping changes to how sexual harassment allegations are handled, to how they are dealt with in the public, everything down the line, is that enough for Democrat voters and Democrat leaders to say, well, the Speaker is stepping up? Because at the end of the day, the difference in the Me Too movement is this not about Speaker Madigan allegations against him. It's right. About people that are in his organization, a lot of which are trickle down in his organization.
I think a lot of attention will be paid as to who gets the nod to lead the Democratic Party of Illinois. Letitia Wallace, who was the lieutenant governor candidate with Daniel Bish, would like to lead the party. Elena Hampton, who brought sort of the first allegation of harassment to Matt, you know, closer to Madigan. She says she was harassed by the brother of Alderman Marty Quinn, who was a close aide to Speaker Madigan. She'd also like to run. If the next leader is somebody who's always been close to Michael Madigan, I think a lot of people will object to that because they will say, hey, how can we change the culture if we're just basically shifting deck chairs on the Titanic? If it is somebody from outside, I think there will be people who will embrace that. However, you bring outside people in, that can complicate, you know, your sort of hold on power. And if, you know, Michael Madigan is about anything, he's about keeping, you know, himself at the top of the heap.
I think it'll start to play out. Of course, we are in the early parts of the summer, and this summer a lot of the spotlight has been on the city's, you know, the municipal election and who's going to run for mayor against the incumbent. But there still is a general election, one that has been highly touted. I mean, we went through a primary season that was crazy to have J.B. Pritzker versus the incumbent Bruce Rauner. How is that playing out? Is this issue going to be one that is debated, that gets up on stage, that's going to be up there with health care and taxes and all the other things that are affecting the state of Illinois?
Well, it's just fascinating because Governor Rauner is up on the air now with several ads continuing to try to link J.B. Pritzker with Rod Blagojevich, who is, of course, back in the news because President Trump said he was considering pardoning him, which is really a case of strange bedfellows, where you have a Republican governor sort of tagging his opponent by association with a man, the Republican president, who Governor Rauner said this week was doing a pretty good job and he had no complaints about, was going to pardon. So it's just strange. Now, Governor Rauner has spent months and months and months trying to make Michael Madigan the issue and tying J.B. Pritzker to Michael Madigan. Is he going to stop doing that anytime soon? I would not suspect so.
Well, I, you know, it's going to be a great summer for the, obviously for the race, because I think you're going to see, hopefully they get off of the TV. They're not going to do that.
No.
I know that. But it's just like, yesterday I did see the Blagojevich tapes won again, and I'm like, don't recycle this stuff. Don't, we already did this.
I mean, that's hopefully an interesting point, because so much of that was aired during the primary to really no effect on J.B. Pritzker. He won handily. And so now do regular people see those ads every 6 seconds and say, what, we dealt with this. This is old news. And is Bruce Rauner throwing good money after bad? I think, you know, and is further complicated by President Trump saying, hey, he probably was mistreated. It's a really complicated situation.
It's so great for the state of Illinois, though, if you're a political observer or someone who's into politics. The campaign storylines are getting very interesting.
The
final thing is just really about the sale of the Thompson Center.
I love this story.
Yeah, the state budget counts this in it, right, as revenue. And, and there's question about what happens. Like, it's really, I mean, we've talked about the Thompson Center before and the sale, and both have made it a political issue. But this state budget actually says it will be sold in the next year. How is that possible?
Well, and not only will it be sold, but it will be sold for $270 million, which is a lot of money, even for a full city block in the heart of the Loop. And that sale price assumes that it's going to be replaced with a very tall, very dense office building with maybe even some residential component to it. So I asked both the mayor's office and Alderman Brendan Riley, hey, have you seen a new plan? Because nothing's going to happen unless the mayor and the city council sign off on it. And they have seen nothing. So there's essentially a $270 million hole in the state budget that everybody has said, yeah, no, that's going to actually happen, when there's no plan. And it's a really complicated site, because not only do preservationists want to keep the building, which is, you know, unusual for, you know, is probably the best thing you could say about it. But, you know, underneath is the Clark and Lake L station, where, you know, literally tens of thousands of people move through every day. So if they're going to tear that building down, they have to do something to protect that station, to keep that station from running.
I just love it. I love the story the most, because once again, there's been so much question, but we got a budget done. Yay!
Yes.
And they were like, oh, page 14. We can get past page 14. And you start looking into this stuff and you're like, they haven't been able to sell this thing. So the idea that they're going to count on $270 million for income for the state of Illinois, when they haven't had success yet, is a head scratcher. Heather, love having you here.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you.
And we'll continue the conversations both on the morning and with the podcast. Heather Chiron, the managing editor at The Daily Line. You can find it at thedailyline.net. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Justin.